Hello.
Hello, and welcome to today's teleconference. All participants will be on listen only until the question and answer session. At that time, if you would like to ask a question, simply press star followed by one. This conference call is also being recorded by the request of the state of Minnesota. I'd like to turn the conference over to your host, Governor Tim Pawlenty. Sir, you may begin.
Good afternoon or good evening, everybody, as the case may be, and I thank you for joining the call. I thought I would just walk through the trip so far in the itinerary so you have that in full focus, and I'll make some comments along the way about the meetings, and then I thought I'd just make some general observations about the situation in Iraq and the Middle East more broadly, and then certainly open the line for your questions regarding the trip or other matters. We departed from Washington, D.C. on Monday. And before that, of course, we had a chance to meet with some American officials there, and that included a meeting with Secretary Condoleezza Rice at the State Department, and that included meetings with Secretary of Defense Gates and Joint Chiefs of Staff Chair Pace at the Department of Defense. We had a chance to visit about their views of Iraq and also, of course, share concerns and questions that we had on behalf of states and National Guards to them. As to the meeting with Secretary Gates, he reiterated the new goal for the Guard and for the reserve component being that instead of the way it used to be, they're going to try to have an intermediate and long-term goal, one deployment, no more than one deployment during the six-year cycle, or they call it one in five. And the one is supposed to be all-inclusive. In other words, none of this 6 months trained up at Camp Shelby and then 12 months in theater or more. And so they intend to have it be a 12-month total deployment. That's in response to a lot of concern that have been expressed by governors and others about overuse of the Guard, inconsistent use of the Guard in terms of deployments and the like. And so we are hopeful, very hopeful, that Secretary Gates and the federal officials formally implement this policy, and that that the troops can count on that, because as they consider reenlisting or not reenlisting and issues like that, that's something that's on their mind. The Secretary has said, and General Blum, who's traveling with us in our party, has reiterated that that's the intermediate and long-term goal. In the near and intermediate term, because of the demands of the war and other demands, the near and intermediate cycle will probably be more like one deployment every 3 or 4 years, going up to one in five. As to Minnesota, my view of it is the 1st Brigade Combat Team and others have done certainly their fair share and more. And we're trying to talk to General Blum and others about making sure that the future deployments are spread around on an even and fair basis. And we are hopeful that this new policy will be a positive development and that they'll stick to it. In the past they've had things where, they've said some things and it hasn't exactly always, not these individuals per se, not Secretary Gates or General Blum, but the federal officials have said some things and hasn't always gone quite that way. So the troops are asking about this being formalized and put in writing, and it seems like the Secretary of Defense and General Blum and others are concurring that that can and should be done. So that was a positive development coming out of that that meeting with the Secretary and General Pace. As to the meeting with Secretary Rice, we had a good discussion about the war from her standpoint, but she also tried to put it in regional context for us. There's a lot of countries and interests in the region who are, in a process of deciding, are they going to be counting on the United States, allied with the United States, going neutral, or going the other way? And, the implications for what happens in Iraq and how it happens in terms of the American success or lack of success is going to have a very significant ripple effect in the region. And, of course, the region is very volatile and very strategically important, and that's something that we have to be mindful of beyond just Iraq. And so it has those kinds of implications. And so we had a good discussion with her about what that meant from her perspective, and her trying to impress upon us the regional and really global significance of the outcome in Iraq, not just for Iraqis, but look more broadly. From Washington, of course, we left and went to the Middle East. We've had a chance to, in addition to some other things, go into Iraq. We were there our time yesterday in Baghdad when we arrived. We also visited some troops, by the way, before that in Kuwait, and so we did that as well. But in Iraq, we went to Baghdad, had a chance to go to the ambassador's residence, Ambassador Khalilzad, who is going to be the new UN secretary for the United States, but he's still the ambassador to Iraq for at least the next few weeks, if not longer. He hosted a reception for us and dinner at the ambassador's residence and invited Iraqi ministers. The minister of oil was there, the minister of water was there, the minister of defense was there, and the minister of industry, former speaker of the parliament, and other Iraqi officials, along with our delegation, and had a chance to interact with these ministers about the new government in Iraq, or the newer government in Iraq, and kind of their views about the progress that's being made within their ministries, within the government. They were trying to impress upon us just the, while I know we all focus on the challenges, and there are real challenges in Iraq and concerns, and no question about that, they tried to impress upon us the progress that has been made, namely, the military success initially of the United States in the invasion in the early stages of the war, but then, the forming of an interim government, the forming of a constitution, the popular election that took place, the forming now of a unity government that's in place under Prime Minister Maliki, the recent tougher and stronger decisions by Prime Minister Maliki to allow the United States forces to go anywhere in the country with different rules of engagement, which is arguably having some positive impact, although obviously many, many challenges remain. So they tried to impress upon us from their standpoint how much progress has been made in about 5 years, which in historical terms is especially by Iraqi historical terms, not a long time, but for Americans who are putting this much into the war, it's a very long time. And so we had a good discussion about those activities. From there we went out to Camp Victory and met with the new commander, General Petraeus, who has been here for, I think, a month or two. And he's also was here earlier and played a very significant role earlier in theater. He shared with us a number of thoughts. The one thing that really stuck with me, General Petraeus, he said, he gave us the rationale for the surge and the hope and the goal, but he also said, look, if this thing doesn't work in a reasonable amount of time, he will tell all of us. He'll tell the Congress, he'll tell the President first, of course, and then he'll tell everybody. He said he has an obligation, to be candid and frank, and he's committed to make it work. But he also said, very directly, if it's not working, he's going to say. And, of course, they have goals and measurements about how they define success, and one of those measurements, which is somewhat nuanced because of all the other things going on in Iraq, is the security threat to American forces and the progress of the government, and that's somewhat separated from, although not entirely separated from, Iraqi on Iraqi violence under the banner of religious terrorism, Shia on Sunni, Sunni on Shia, and other acts of violence, Iraqi on Iraqi. So I know there's been a tough couple of days here in Iraq for American troops and others, but at least in the last couple of weeks there's been some small glimmers of hope or positive signs as it relates to the security issue in Baghdad, Sadr City, and elsewhere as measured broadly. I'm obviously not focusing on the incidents of today or yesterday, but some modest progress as measured by those measurements. So there's some glimmers of hope. And so we had a chance to meet with General Petraeus, and then we flew up last night from Camp Victory to Balad and overnighted in Balad, and after having received some briefings and some meetings in Balad late last night. And then today we spent time with the troops in Balad, at the base there in Balad, and had meetings with many troops individually and collectively throughout the day. About midday or a little later, we flew down to Talil, which is by Nasiriyah, just not too far from Nasiriyah in the southern part of Iraq. That's also, by the way, the headquarters of the 1st Brigade Combat Team, the 134th, that gets a lot of the, understandably gets a lot of the attention because it's a large part of the Minnesota delegation there. They're also headquartered down in Tooele. Colonel Elisario was there, and we had a number of town meetings both in Balad and in Tooele, and so we had, you know, significant numbers of soldiers come in and had a chance with General Blum, and I conducted the town meetings. General Blum, by the way, of course, is the senior and commander for the National Guard and Bureau, and National Guard Bureau, the head of the National Guard Bureau is his role and function and title. We conducted town meetings with the Minnesota soldiers on a kind of a broad range of topics. You know, first and foremost, always telling them the main purpose of this trip, and it is to meet with them and look them eyeball to eyeball and tell them, you know, we remember them, we are thinking of them, we are grateful for what they're doing, we're so proud of them, and that on behalf of Minnesota, I wanted to say thank you to them, and we conveyed that message as loudly and as frequently as we could. So that was down in Tooele. Of course, throughout the day at all these stops, we had briefings from the units about their mission, their role, and their success. I'll also say quickly that the performance measures for the Minnesotans in this engagement are just extraordinary. They are very, very high. They are chart-topping in so many respects, and we're very proud of them. And just quickly on the extension, I know a lot of people kind of confuse or commingle the idea of the extension with the surge. They're related, obviously, because the surge has caused, to some extent, caused the extension. The troops in the 1st Brigade Combat Team are disappointed about the extension. There's no question about it. And I know their families are disappointed, and the First Lady and I have been also trying to remind people when the soldiers serve, the families serve. And they're disappointed. There's no question about it. But you know, they have realized they got to finish the mission and they do it with excellence. And so their morale overall, you know, obviously there's concerns, but their morale overall is good. And they'll finish the mission with excellence as they've done so far. And it's hard. It is difficult. It's dangerous. And they need to know we appreciate them. So we're trying to also convey ways that every Minnesotan can try to recognize the troops. And those are listed in the press release. But I hope people will consider finding one of those ways to help the troops, and including getting our community groups to sign up for the First Lady's Family Care Initiative, which is a very tangible way to help with the military families and to interact with them. So that was today. Then we have departed and returned this weekend. There are other parts of the itinerary that I can't discuss, but in a very quick overview, that is the those were the events from when we landed in the Middle East until present. I'll just make a couple of general observations as well, and then we can open it up for questions. Again, we're really proud of the Minnesotans. The war, of course, has not gone as well as we had all hoped. That's obvious. I was skeptical of the surge because I thought, minimally, it was belated. I think we should have had more troops in Iraq much, much earlier. But the decision's been made. It's going forward. And I think we should try our best to make it work. As somebody said to me the other day, it's like we pulled our goalie, to use a Minnesota analogy. You know, we've pulled the goalie. And now we got to put the pressure down on the other end and try to make it successful. And there are so many people who have been here now, who are here now, and who have been here before, who have given their time, their treasure, their blood, their lives. They've given so much to this effort. And I know there's a difference of opinion on the view, but there's a lot of people here who think they want an additional chance to make it succeed. Not everybody, obviously, they have different views, but. And one soldier told me last night, he said, we're proud of what we're doing. We're really proud of what we're doing. And to please ask the American people to give us a little more time to see if we can make it work or move it to the next stage. So there's a lot of things going on in Iraq. It's very complex in there and in the region. But those are some general sentiments. And I just will close before we open the questions to say these troops, you know, we come here to say thank you and express gratitude. But we all leave encouraged by them. They are just so strong and dedicated and courageous and patriotic and committed. They truly are role models and heroes. And I know those terms get tossed about, but these individuals deserve that title. They deserve the title of role models and heroes. They live it, and they do it. And they don't just talk about it. They live it, and they do it. And we are very, very grateful for them. I know you may have questions, and we can open the phone lines if we could at least start by limiting the questions in case we run out of time to the trip. And then as time allows, if you have questions on other topics, I'll be happy to take those. And operator, if you could go ahead and open the phone lines, that would be appreciated.
Our next question comes from Tim Pugmire of the Minnesota Public Radio.
Hi, Governor.
Hi, Tim.
Wondering about the timing of the trip. How did it come about, any concern about being away from the business of the state at this point in time? Or?
Well, a couple of things, Tim. It came about in this regard almost immediately after I heard about the extension of the 1st Brigade Combat Team. I knew this was going to be a concern for many soldiers and their families, so I almost immediately requested the trip and wanted to go right away, but we had some delay in getting it organized and working on schedules and the like. But the timing of it came at my request beginning, if I recall correctly, about mid-November, late November of last year, 2006, and because of logistics and schedules, this was the earliest opportunity to go. And so that explains how it got teed up and the timing of it. And then as to the concerns about the legislature, there's a rhythm to the legislative session, which is, of course, November, December, we put together our budget and do the state of the state and the budget address in January. And we've been diligently meeting with legislative leaders, including last week I met with legislative leaders and hosted a number of functions at the residence. So I think I'm pretty caught up on kind of their sentiments. I've been doing that throughout the session so far. But, now that they've got to get their bills out, and our staff and I have been in pretty good contact with them, and so I feel like we've got a good finger on the pulse of what's going on there. So, we kept the trip secret because of security reasons, and obviously we don't want to be a danger to the troops by having become a target in a way that causes them to more headache and more problems and challenges than they already got. So that's why we had to keep it secretive or confidential.
Mm-hmm.